want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for again this time together. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us be faithful to you. Lord, we pray that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Lord, not that we would rely on our own or our own understandings, Father, but we trust you, Lord. Again, we just thank you. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and that you'd give us that wisdom, Father, that comes from above. Open our hearts and minds to hear you, Father. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to start right there where Corbin did. Just kind of go over. Start right there. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. I had some other verses in mind this morning already about this, what's said here, but I want to start with that. Verse 25 says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. We can think about this being signs and see something in sun and the stars and on the earth, just physical signs in these elements, you know, the roaring of the sea and the waves, but you can see that in the things that the world is doing today, the roaring of the winds and the waves, and not just in there's something in the stars there, but the whole world is just kind of in a showing signs. The whole world is in an uproar. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This explains it a little deeper. Men fainting from fear. You know, in the King James it says, men's hearts failing them for fear. You know, it's easy to look at all these things going on and see and actually be afraid ourselves. Men fainting from fear. And the fainting is not necessarily not just all in the physical, you know, just scared to death. You fall over because you saw something and you... But fainting means our hearts are weakened or kind of black out in our resolve and what we're seeking. Men's hearts fainting them with fear. They're scared to death to move on and go forward. You know, not just in the physical sense, you know, we can see someone, they've got fainting goats, you know, you scare them and they just fall over and it's kind of funny to watch them. And that's not the kind of fear he's talking about here. He's talking about a fear where you're paralyzed in your faith. You're paralyzed in you faint because of some of the things going on. And the expectation of the things which are coming on the world. Okay, it's not even going through them necessarily, not even seeing something, but it's just the expectation of the things that are happening on the world. You know, that's where fear starts. You know, whenever we go through something, you know, it's nothing compared with us thinking we're going to go through something. You know, whenever something happens to us, we might jerk or we might, but then we just jump right in and start taking care of it, you know. But that expectation of something bad going to happen is what paralyzes us. that expectation of what could happen or what we hear about happening somewhere else is what causes our hearts to faint or grow weak. Nothing even happened, hardly, to us personally. It's just that expectation. You know, they say that, and it's kind of experienced this, the fear of heights. You know, you climb up a real big, tall building, and my fear is not necessarily falling off. It's this compulsion, this fear to just jump off because I don't like it up there. That's what the fear is. You get up there and it's that expectation of falling, and that expectation you're dreading. So you just, I'll just jump off. It's just kind of the way you feel when you get up there and it's uncomfortable like that. And all that is that expectation. Where if you just stand still, the building isn't going to fall over. You know, there's not going to be a huge gust of wind just wipe you off. You wouldn't even think about that hardly. It's just that paralyzing, fainting fear that something might happen or cause problems. That's where the problem is. That's what gets us. That's what will get people most of the time. Men's fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming on the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. You know, this is going to happen. These things, Jesus predicted them. The things, the perilous times are coming. The whole world will be turned upside down. And a couple of little things happen and we just panic and don't know what we're going to do. I'm telling you, this world is going to be turned upside down. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's going to happen. All these things have to happen before the return of the Lord. Then it says, verse 27, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Right there. You know, we can get so caught up in what's going on with the world and scared out of our minds, scared out of our faith. And we lose sight of these things going to happen. And then looks what happens after. You know, these things should almost excite us. The things that are going on in the world. You know, if we really believed and were just waiting for Jesus coming, the crazier the world gets, the more we see past all of that and see that it's all about the heavens splitting open and Jesus returning. But the problem is through all of that, we see the fog. And we get caught up in all the details of what's going on. How crazy the world. We're astounded how silly it can get. How crazy it is. And so we get all, oh boy, we can't believe all of that. And it all gets foggy. And that's where the fainting comes in. Because we begin to be swayed by it and get scared by it. We begin to change plans because of it. Because the world's shaking upside down. Maybe, the thing about it is maybe we ought to be changing our plans because of it. It ought to show us that this stuff's coming to an end pretty quick. Maybe I ought to just be being more prepared for Jesus' return than preparing for my long life on this earth. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a returning in a cloud with power and great glory. You know, can you just imagine being held captive somewhere in your faith, waiting, lost everything, don't have a thing, you're beat up, you're sick, you're hungry, whatever. And then the cloud split and Jesus comes. And everybody that was prepared to live, suddenly the fear, the realization comes that I was wrong. But then you see the person that was going through it, waiting, the joy, the excitement. I mean, can you imagine being trapped in a prison and you hear a little commotion down below? You've been there for 20 years and you hear a commotion and hear your kings come to take everybody that's held you captive and set you free. Are you dreading all the commotion you hear down in the outer courts of the things going on? No. All of that's going on because they know the king's coming. Then when they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. All the craziness going on in the world, we can, oh no, what do I do? It's going to get bad here. I better make all kinds of plans and preparations. I better go plant a bigger garden. I better go build an underground house. I better find a place to hide. Or we can just go on living. You know, it's all right to plant a garden. It's good to do all of that. And it's all right to have. But that's not how we're going to preserve ourselves. We're going to preserve ourselves because we're watching for who's coming after all of this nonsense, all of this craziness that's going on in the world. Straighten up. In other words, quit moaning and crying and whining around, fussing and fretting, and straighten up. And lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We get so involved in all this garbage on this earth that we're afraid we might lose some of it. But it ain't going to amount to nothing whenever the sky splits. Jesus comes riding in on his big white horse. Turn to Matthew 24. Verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of the Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. That's what we're watching for. That should be our goal. Instead of being fearful about the things that are going on. Instead of, you know, we think about how to prepare. how to prepare for all these things going on? Well, we can try to physically build a little fort for us to protect us from all these things. Or we can just go through what comes at us. Seeing past what we're going through. Waiting because Jesus is returning. You know, how do we prepare? You know, we can delve into all the ins and outs of what's going on. Look for conspiracies of why it's going on. You know what that does? That usually just makes us nervous. That usually just scares us, motivates us a little more. You know, if we'd spend half the time praying, seeking the Lord. If we'd spend half the time praying and just walking with God, we'll be 100 times more informed than all the time we spend on YouTube or the videos or the papers that are telling us about all the bad things and all the conspiracies or the heart of all of what's going on. You know what? There is a conspiracy. He's called Satan. He's got a conspiracy to undermine God. And whoever he uses in this world, the goal is the same. It's to undermine people to trusting in God. To undermine people to be ready when Jesus returns. That's the conspiracy. And we get sidelined with all the details of who's behind all of this. Who blew up that building? Or who derailed that train? And did they do it on purpose? You bet it was done on purpose. And it wasn't because some man planned it out well. It was because Satan has a plan. Trying to foil the plan of God. Trying to discourage. Trying to frighten you. Trying to cause you to faint with fear about what is coming upon the earth. Spend more time seeking the Lord. Spend more time preparing your heart. To go through, and just like the song we sing, Lord, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to be free, if you want me to be whatever. If you want me to go through whatever, I want to be prepared to walk with you then. And the way we prepare to do something in the future is to be doing it today. We get anticipating about how I'm going to do this tomorrow, how I'm going to do that next week, what's going to happen. Instead of being what we're supposed to be today. It's just that simple. Book of Revelation, chapter 12. You know, you read Revelation and you see all of this stuff. Verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7, Revelation. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. This dragon and his angels waged war. And the dragon and his angels waged war. That's who we're fighting. It isn't the liberals. It isn't the communists. It isn't the atheists. We're fighting with Satan and his angels. They've waged war And they were not strong enough. And there's no longer a place for them in heaven. See, they got through out of heaven because they weren't strong enough. So they came down. So the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. You know, we wonder how people can believe what they believe. The reality is how can we not believe that God is bigger than all of this, and that God has all of this in his hands, and that if we're faithful and we trust in him, he'll be there in the end and win. But we're deceived. The whole world is deceived. You know why? Because they're believing the wrong person. You know, it's really simple. The things that are happening today, you know, if you just really stop and think about it, it's the plainest thing, the best thing is the simplicity that God is just in control of everything. You know, one of the deceiving things is you know, what a few years ago, if you were born a boy, you were a boy. And if you were born a girl, you were a girl. And today, everybody's so confused. That's not because everybody's getting wiser and smarter. It's a sickness. It's a mental problem. And they need help. They need to turn back to what's real, what's right. They may not. In fact, most won't, and it'll get worse and worse. Satan and the devil, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser, our brethren, has been thrown down, and he accuses them before our God day and night." In verse 11 it says, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb." It's talking about those who make it through. Not just this time, but from all time. They overcame him. Here's the key. Here's the map. Here's the instructions. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Jesus defeated them. Jesus won. Already won. When he splits the skies, it's just to collect his trophy. The game's over. The battle's won. It's already done. When he splits the skies, he's coming with his big broom and garbage pail just to sweep up the mess. It's already done. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, the word of their life, their evidence that they just trusted him. Looks crazy to the world. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. You see, right there's the one that gets most of us. We love our lives. As miserable as some of them are, we still love our lives. We want to preserve it. We want to save it. because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death or facing death. So that's why making a whole bunch of big plans or moving off and hiding from the big bad people that are in control of everything. There's no place to hide in this world. You know, there's other places where people are going through hell every day, it seems. Going through terrible things. Are we so special that we're going to just run away if we think something's going to bad happen to us? Why didn't they just run away? We'll be much better off preparing our hearts to be ready for His return than the time spent shielding ourselves from anything the devil may. You know, are we going to hide from the devil? We might hide from one government here or there, or one set of bad people here or there, but remember what they're doing it for. They're doing it for Him. Because He's the conspiracy theory. He's the one that's conspiring to overthrow God. And He don't have to have radar to know where we're at. He doesn't have to have satellites to know where we're at. He knows right where we're at, especially if we're following the Lord. You know, He's already got most of the world. All He has to do is just let them go. He don't even care about them. You know, whenever Paul was, they were trying to cast out the devils. And these people took it on their authority to cast out the devils. The devil said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, and Stephen I know. They knew who the disciples were. And then they said, but who are you? Whenever we follow the Lord, Satan's the first one to know. And if he can scare us to death, if he can cause us to faint like a goat getting somebody saying boo to, he wins. That made it easy for him. Trust in the Lord. Spend your time walking with God, knowing that He is in. He's the one going to be riding that white horse when the sky splits open. Get to know Him. The world can't help you by telling you who its boogermen are, or his monsters are. Know the one on the big white horse. May the Lord add His blessings. You want to have anything you'd like to share? Back here at 6 o'clock. Remember to keep Nancy and Kamal in the prayers. God bless y'all. Depart in peace.